You're listening to Feed, Play, Love, a podcast that's all about supporting parents as they bring up children. We've got experts and advice to help you through the more challenging bits of parenting. I'm Siobhan Hunt.
Terrier Pitt is a force to be reckoned with. In 2011, she was competing in an ultra marathon. That's 100 kilometres if you've never done one. And she was trapped by an out-of-control grass fire. That fire resulted in burns to 65% of her body and fears that she would not recover from her injuries. Fast forward 9 years and she's a mum of two small boys, a best-selling author and mindset coach. Her latest book is called Happy and Other Ridiculous Aspirations. Terrier, welcome to Feed, Play, Love.
Oh, thank you so much for having me in that lovely introduction.
My pleasure. When did people start looking to you for advice on how to be happy?
I think it's probably like a lot of questions that I've gotten over the past decade, like close to a decade or so. And I get these questions from strangers in the street, friends and family, people sending me a DM on Instagram. And I think if I look into it, I think the question they were really asking is how I'm so personally happy given everything that I've been through. And when I thought about that myself, I thought that was a really interesting question for me to answer. And I guess that's why I set out on this quest, so to speak, of finding out, well, is happiness something that we're just born with? Is it innate? Or is it something that we can work on, that we can improve? And if so, what are the steps or what are the strategies we can take to help us be just a little bit happier?
Of course, it is something that people aspire to, this idea of happiness. Mm. And you just touched on then that when people were asking you that question, they were reflecting on some really hard times that you had been through. How important are those dark times to your whole story?
Oh, I think they are. No matter what I do, they'll always be a part of my life. And I don't think we can, you know, with whatever experience life throws our way, whether we lose someone we love or we get a cancer diagnosis or we get trapped by a fire running in an ultramarathon, whatever our life experiences are, we can't really put them to the side and say to ourselves, okay, cool, I'm going to forget about that. I don't think... Or at least I know for me, it hasn't really worked like that. So I think that experience will always be a part of my life. It'll always be a part of my story. But I also think that experience that I went through, that catastrophic experience that I went through, it did give me a lot of insight into how we can get through hard times, how we can be more resilient, and how we can still find happiness and joy in our ordinary lives.
You write in this book, it's very interesting because, of course, there is happy and then the strapline and other ridiculous aspirations, which does hint at the fact, as you say in the book, that the pursuit of happiness could be seen as a never-ending goal, like there's never an end point. So with that in mind and with that attitude to happiness, how did you look at writing this book? Like, what was your intention knowing that it could be like a never-ending pursuit?
Yeah, I guess I wanted to be upfront with the readers and just let them know that, hey, you're never going to arrive at Happiness Train Station and go, yep, cool, I'm here, that's done. It's kind of a, you know, an evolving beast, and some days you might feel really happy and excited and motivated. Some days you might not. You might be stressed or tired or anxious. I want the reader to know that all of those emotions are very valid and very necessary for the human experience. And I guess how I started, you know, putting all those thoughts down on paper, I started to unpack what I'd learned from my own experience. So, for example, one of the things I do every day is I practice gratitude for the things that are going really well for me in my life, and what that does for me is it helps me to focus on the positives, and that in turn helps me to build up a more positive and happier mindset. So some of the stuff I wrote about I already knew about, but other stuff I didn't know so much about or I found out more about as I wrote the book.
Is there anything that you discovered in the book that really surprised you that you then went on to incorporate in your life? Or is there, I mean, that might be a hard question. Maybe right. There was more than one.
Like there was heaps, there was heaps of things in the book. And again, you know, it's not necessary to do every single strategy I give in the book and make sure you implement them every night and have charts and star charts and wall planners. You know, make it easy for yourself. Just do one or two things. See if it makes you feel better about yourself and your life. If so, then great. Job done. But one of the really interesting things I found was that making your bed actually impacts how our day goes and also how happy we are. And that was
100% can see that.
Well, that's revelatory to me because I'm someone who never made their bed. I was like, that's such a waste of time because I'm just going to be hopping back into it tonight. So like, why would I bother? But there's a whole swathe of research out there about, you know, the psychology of why making your bed is important, how it is a keystone habit in that, you know, if we can make our bed, then maybe we can drink 2 liters of water. If we can drink 2 liters of water, maybe we can go for a half hour walk. If we can go for a half hour walk, maybe we can, you know, sit down and do 2 hours of writing for the big project that we're working on. So, yeah, I found that that tip in particular really revelatory. But it sounds like you already knew that. It sounds like I'm preaching to the converted.
Well, that and the value of good linen. a good sheet that you love looking at or a good quilt, it just makes my day better every single day.
Oh, my God. You know what? Because I read, when I was researching this book, I read a book called Make Your Bed. It's by William McGavran. He was an admiral in the US Navy. And then I went and bought linen sheet sets.
Oh,
and I really do think it's like it makes my day better, which is crazy. 100%. Right? Yeah.
Oh no. I my whole adult life I've dreamed of having nice linen. So
do you have nice linen now?
I do. I have a quilt that isn't quite unisex, but my husband bent to my will on it, and I think his life is better for allowing me to buy it. I'll have to post a picture of it because it's very colourful. Now, that's kind of an external element, if I could move on to this part of the book, because you talk about working out how to handle external elements so that we can be happier. So, you know, buy a nice quilt is my very facetious way of doing it. But external elements can, especially when you're a parent, can be very challenging, such as a baby who never stops crying or who doesn't sleep very well. Mm. You have two very young children. Mm. How do you manage those kind of really unpredictable external elements?
Yeah, I mean, those things are hard. And, you know, there's a saying that I really like, you know, no matter how you polish a turd, at the end of the day, it's still a turd. So, like, you can try all this positive self-talk. You can try and put a positive spin on something. But if you're sleep-deprived, no amount of practicing gratitude and making your bed and doing all of these things are going to really help you. So I think if you are really sleep deprived or if it's something you're really struggling with, I think people should really get help. Like I saw a sleep consultant with my new little baby. It was life-changing just being able to, you know, get some solid nights or it's not solid, get more sleep. I found that for me was really good. And I always say, you know, like when our car is broken, we take it to a mechanic. If our eyebrows need waxing, we go to a but like the same, like if our baby's not sleeping, you know, friends and family are great, but they might not necessarily have very good insight or very good advice on how to help you to get your baby to sleep. So I would say, yeah, like go see a sleep consultant if your baby is not sleeping. I know for like general run-of-the-mill tiredness which comes with just being a parent, I always try and reframe my language because I found that when I first had Hakavai, he's my eldest son, he's almost 3 years old. When I first had him, I was always telling myself that I had to do these things. Like I had to clean his room, I had to prepare his food, I had to give him a bath. And like by using that language, by telling myself I had to do all of these things, it was almost like I was resenting this beautiful, perfect baby little boy. And so then I started saying, I get to give him a bath. I get to feed him dinner. I get to be around and watch him as he gets older and get to nurture him and be his mum. And just by changing that language, like for me, it really shifted the focus from one of obligation to one of gratitude. So all of that to say, you can use that, you know, you can try changing language and remind yourself that being a parent really is such an important, magical job. It's the best job I've ever had in my life. But the second part of that is sometimes things are really hard and tough, especially when you've got a new little baby. And if you are struggling with something or you're really sleep deprived, go and see someone. You can see a doctor, you can see a psychologist, or you can see a sleep consultant.
The way you speak about language there is really interesting, because I can totally see that switch from obligation to gratitude. What about the negative self-talk that parents can have going on in their head? It can come from being really new at parenting and thinking you're doing everything wrong and everyone else is doing everything right and there's something wrong with you. Have you got any tips on how parents can try and mix that up a bit?
Yeah, I guess like to start with, I really try and be as honest as I can be on social media about my parenting journey, because it does seem, especially when you're a new mom and you've got a newborn, it does really feel like everyone else knows more about your baby. Everyone else is better informed and better educated and better able to make choices and decisions for your little baby. So I try to be honest about, my parent journey so far, because it has been anything but perfect. Some days are really magical and extraordinary and I'll feel like the best mom in the world. And then the next day I'll look at my watch and I'll think, oh my God, it's only 7:30. how the hell am I going to get through today? It's only 7:30. You know what I mean? Yeah. I always describe it as being contextual, in that some days are great, amazing, other days are really hard and a bit more of a shit show. But I guess to stop that negative self-talk in our heads, and we're our own worst critics, especially women and mothers, we have this weight of expectation on our shoulders to, be really good moms, be great at our jobs, be an awesome friend, an awesome daughter, give back to our communities, always look really well presented. And that list sounds exhausting, It's so hard to be all of those things all of the time. I think sometimes, of course, we can be really good moms. Maybe the next week we've got a really big project on at work and we can't give our kids our undivided attention, and we might, surprise, surprise, bang them down in front of the TV and get pizza. Like, I think you've just got to be able to do what you can do and what you can manage, and just accept that not every day is going to be a really beautiful picture of puppies and sunflowers. To stop that inner critic in your head, I always tell people to speak to themselves how they would speak to their kids, because we would never speak to our kids in the way that we speak to ourselves. So I think whenever you catch yourself berating yourself and being really down on yourself, try and stop that. Try and stop that auto track and try and say, okay, what would I say to my kid if they were in this situation, and go from there.
Self-love is also a super tricky thing to do at the best of times. And you had to learn how to do this after your appearance had completely changed. Have you got any practical tips on how people can learn to love themselves?
Yeah. I mean, like, such a big question to unpack in this interview. I think one of the things, what I did anyway, was just taking really small baby steps. So, for example, when I, I had to wear my mask for 2 years, and then the time came for me to take it off. And of course, I was petrified and nervous and anxious. And so, what did I do? Did I take it off in front of thousands of people the very first time? No, of course not. I'm not crazy. I took it off when a girlfriend would come over for a coffee. I took it off when I would go for a walk around the block. I took it off when I would drive in my car to a physio appointment. So I started really, really small and just really tried to focus on taking those tiny little baby steps, which in themselves didn't seem that consequential, didn't seem that important. But over the long term, they really allowed me to make, you know, really big mental shifts. But I think this idea of self-love, it's really important to unpack that we might not love ourselves all of the time, and that's okay. We might not feel very confident in ourselves all the time, and that's okay as well. And just because we love ourselves, that doesn't mean that we're not allowed to also consider ourselves a work in progress and evolve and change as well.
That's a really good point, because I think when it comes to that idea of self-love, people, it's really confronting. It's a really hard concept to get your head around. And I think it's interesting with mothers who are so good at loving their children and so good at loving others, that turning that love back on ourselves is actually a challenging process. It's so interesting.
Yeah, it is. But like, you know, a foundation of self-love is to try and just talk to yourself in a more compassionate way. And again, that's just whenever you notice that you're starting to berate yourself or being really down on yourself, try and stop that and say to yourself, okay, well, what would I say to my son if he was in this situation?
Mm. And it's okay just to be sad sometimes, and it's okay, like, you don't have to love being a mum all the time either, right? Because that can be one of those critical things in your head, like, why aren't I enjoying this?
Yeah, of course. And like, you know, it's kind of like when you can't get to sleep at night and then you get angry at yourself for not being able to sleep, and then all of a sudden you've just got like all of this rage just surging through your body, which is definitely not conducive to a good night's sleep. So I think, you know, if you feel something, if you feel resentment at your kids, or if you feel like you're having a shit day, or you feel like, hey, surprise, surprise, you're not really enjoying your day with your kids, to try and not berate yourself, try and not question whether you're a good mother or not, and just accept it and just acknowledge it and say, I feel a bit shitty today with my family. That might be because I didn't get a good night's sleep. That might be because my partner and I had a fight this morning. That might be because my toddler is really acting up at the moment. Doesn't say anything about your parenting skills or about you as a person. It's just what's happening today.
Tariya, it is a fabulous book. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was really great to speak with you too.
That's Tariya Pitt. Her book is called Happy, and you can find a copy if you follow the links in the notes of this episode.